Good morning, and welcome to Joe's Review and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you would like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer. We've been studying from the book of Acts, and this morning we'd like to move on in our study to chapter 8. And this chapter begins a new thought. In the first seven chapters deal with the gospel being preached in Jerusalem, and chapters 8 through 12 deal with the gospel being preached in Judea and in Samaria. So you might consider chapter 8 somewhat of a transition chapter. We see in this chapter the scattering of the disciples. We read in verse 1, beginning, the cause of this scattering. Now Saul was consenting to his death, that was the death of Stephen in chapter 7. At that time a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. So as we remember in the previous chapter, it ended with the stoning of Stephen. Those that killed him laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. We read that in the last verse, or verse 58 rather, of chapter 7. He was just as guilty as they were because he was consenting to Stephen's death, and that we see in verse 1 that we just read. The persecution increased against the church in Jerusalem to the point that Christians were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Meanwhile, Stephen was buried with great sorrow and mourning, and Saul continued to make havoc of the church by dragging men and women into prison. The result of this scattering we read in verse 4. Therefore those that were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. So the disciples went everywhere preaching the word. What was intended really to crush Christianity, it merely fanned the flames and spread it further. It's in verse 5, but reading on through verse 12, that we read about the conversion of the Samaritans. Philip went to Samaria and preached Christ to them. Verse 4, therefore those that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So we see then that he performed miracles, as we read in verse 6, and the kind of things that they witnessed included what verse 7 talked about. Unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. So the miracles and the teachings were embraced by the Samaritans with great joy. We see that in verse 8 there. Was great joy in that city. So they saw a great contrast in what Philip did and the sorcery, and the word sorcery is the practicing of magic. Simon claimed that what he did was by the power of God, as we read in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 8. But the people of Samaria realized there was a difference in what Philip had done and what Simon was doing. The people of Samaria believed the things that Philip preached concerning the kingdom and the name of Jesus, and verse 12 says that they were baptized, both men and women. So again, here we have another progress report with the first case of conversion outside of the city of Jerusalem. Simon also obeyed the gospel. We see this in verse 13. He did just as others did in Samaria. The Bible tells us in verse 13 that he believed and he was baptized. Again, here is another progress report of the effect of the gospel. Simon was amazed at the miracles that Philip worked. And since he had deceived the people for so long, he well understood the difference in what he had done and what Philip could do. Simon, we see, soon sinned and endangered his soul. The occasion was when he reacted to the miracles of the apostles. The apostles at Jerusalem had sent Peter and John to Samaria when they had heard of the conversion of the city of Samaria. We read that in verse 14. When Peter and John came, the Bible says, notice in verse 14, "And when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, but had only been baptized, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." Then we see that as a result of this, Simon saw the power the apostles had and offered money so that he could have that same power. But before we expand on that anymore, let's think about what we see and read in verses 14 through 17. When Peter and John came to Jerusalem, they imparted the power of the Holy Spirit on other disciples by the laying on of their hands. Now, though Philip had the power to work miracles, as we've seen, he could not bestow that on anyone else. It was necessary then for the apostles, Peter and John in particular in this case, to come from Jerusalem for others to receive the power like Philip had. Though the ones upon whom the apostles laid their hands could work miracles, there's no evidence that they, that is, the ones who had received what they had through the laying on of the apostles' hands, there's no evidence that they could transfer that to others. So Philip, had received the power of the Holy Spirit through the laying on of the apostles' hands. He could perform miracles. He does here in the city of Samaria. But he could not lay his hands on anyone and impart unto them the baptism or the works of the Holy Spirit, the miraculous works. Peter and John, the apostles who had received baptism of the Holy Spirit, came from Jerusalem to Samaria. They were able to lay hands on others, and they received the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, Simon saw the power that the apostles had. And then in verse 18, we see what he does. "And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit.'" So Simon saw the power the apostles had, and now he offers them money so that he could have that same power. It's in verse 20 that we begin to see the rebuke that Peter gives to Simon. Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor lot portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." So Simon's sin resulted in him being in a lost condition. There were two problems that Simon had incurred with what he had done. First of all, the Holy Spirit cannot be bought with money, verse 20. The other was the power that he wanted, that is, the ability to lay hands on another so they could receive the power of the Holy Spirit, was only for the apostles, verse 21. This ability was not assigned to him. His whole attitude about how to get the Spirit and how to use the power, all of it was wrong. So Simon's sin resulted in his being in a lost condition. Now, what this shows is, or at least it should show to us, is that it is possible for a child of God to so sin as to lose his soul. And so this very popular doctrine that we often hear a great deal about, the doctrine of once saved, always saved, is a false doctrine. So we see then that Simon's sin results in his being in a lost condition. Peter told him in verse 20, he stood to perish. The Bible says, and Peter says in verse 22, that Simon was guilty of wickedness. And in verse 21 and 22, Peter says to him, his heart was not right, and his thoughts were all wrong. He was poisoned by bitterness. He was bound by iniquity. Verse 23. So, consequently, Peter told Simon to repent and pray that he might be forgiven in verse 22. So, Simon asked Peter in verse 24 to pray for him. After some preaching, Peter and John then returns to Jerusalem, and they preach in villages that they passed along the way, going back to Jerusalem, as verse 25 indicates. It's in verse 26 through 40 that we see another conversion taking place, and that is the conversion of the eunuch. The Lord sent Philip to the road between Jerusalem and Gaza, which is a 50-mile or more stretch of uninhabited land. Verse 26, it's called desert. He came in contact with a man of Ethiopia who was either a Jew living in Ethiopia or he was a proselyte. He was the treasurer of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. He was a man of great authority, having such a cabinet position, and he was a eunuch, verse 27 tells us. We know that eunuchs were not allowed to be Jews in the full sense, according to Deuteronomy 23 in verse 1, but only proselytes of the gate. But Christianity is spreading to Samaria and now to the eunuchs. He was religious, obviously, for he'd been to Jerusalem to worship, as verse 27 tells us. And this demonstrates that he has a reverence for God in that he had traveled more than 1,000 miles for him to worship. He must have been sincere, thinking truly that his relationship to God was right. So as the eunuch was riding in his chariot, he was reading from Isaiah the prophet, verse 28 tells us, and the Spirit instructs Philip to approach the chariot, in verse 29. Once Philip came in contact with the eunuch, he preached Christ to the eunuch. The eunuch was asked if he understood what he read in verse 30, and he responded, how can I unless someone guides me? Verse 31. He asked Philip to join him in the chariot, in verse 31. And he was reading from Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. The eunuch asked if this was talking about the prophet himself or someone else, in verse 34. And Philip began at the same passage and preached to him Christ, verse 35. Here is a case of divine interpretation. Philip, by the Spirit, says that Isaiah 53 is about Christ. The prophet foretold of the rejection, the crucifixion, the resurrection of our Lord, and the message preached that by Philip was about Christ being the fulfillment of the Old Testament. The message must have included the fact that Jesus was the Son of God, as we see in verse 37, and it must have included something about being baptized for the remission of sins, or else why would the eunuch want to be baptized, as he does in verse 36. So the eunuch obeys the gospel, and they come to some water, and the eunuch said, what hinders me from being baptized, in verse 36. We find then that Philip said if he believed, he could, and so he was baptized. The Great Commission instructed baptism for believers in Mark 16:16. Friends, we see that our time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening, and we hope that you'll tune in again tomorrow. And it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day and return you back to our announcer.